Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome to Tuesday, February the 21st, 2023. We pray that you are having a glorious, fantastic, tremendously terrific day as you go about your business, whether it's at work, whether it's your drive to work, your drive home, while you're running errands, or if you're listening on your phone, to those who may be out of state who are listening through the WMIEFM.com app, or whether you're listening through the TuneIn app, we greet you today in the name of the Lord. We pray that all is going well for you. We want to take just a moment to invite you out to our Fire Bible Discipleship Studies on Wednesday night. That'll be tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Come and get anchored to the Word of God. Today we're going back to Matthew chapter 7. And I want to read two verses, and then I want to go on to verse number 28. This is going to be our last one in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7, 25, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Verse 27, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. I spend a lot of time going to probably greater depth as far as diving into teaching series than many other programs on the radio would do, because I don't want your life to fail. I don't want it to fall. It says in verse number 27, the house fell and great was its fall. It was a mega fall. It was loud. It was disastrous. And I don't want that for your life. I want it to be successful. So we have spent a long time. I don't even know how long we have been doing this, but we started in Matthew chapter 5 with Jesus teaching his disciples. They were up on a mountain, and there were great crowds there, and we started teaching about the Beatitudes. The blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So we spent a long time going through that. We spent some time talking about, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy it, but to fulfill. For I assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Verse number 19 talks about breaking one of the least of these commands, and teaching men to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And you definitely don't want to be one that teaches a child to violate one of these things. Jesus says that to do that to a child would be something that you would regret greatly. There were many life teachings about not hating one another. There were teachings about sexual purity and how he has raised the standard of that, that you and I are supposed to be the salt of the earth. It's in Matthew chapter 5, we also see about the importance of the marriage vows, that we talk about forgiveness and loving our enemies. We come to Matthew chapter 6, and we talked a great deal about the teachings in there about what does it mean to really pray. You don't pray like the hypocrites do, but instead you go into a secret place and you pray to your Father who is in secret. And when you pray, you don't use vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Instead, Jesus said, your Father knows the things you have need before you ask. In this manner, therefore, pray. And then we went into a teaching on the Lord's Prayer. There was the importance of forgiveness after the Lord's Prayer. What we're supposed to behave like when we are going through a season of fasting and prayer, that we are supposed to have different priorities in our life instead of the priorities of the world. It is our priorities are not about possessions, but instead they are about treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Again, in Matthew chapter 6, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, which means you cannot serve God and the spirit of money. Verse 25, he begins to teach us about not being people who are imprisoned by worry, that we can live an anxiety-free and worry-free life. Worry accomplishes nothing, and that you and I can have the greatest and the utmost confidence in God. He said, Gentiles seek after what they can eat and what they can drink and what they can wear. He says, but in verse number 32, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is the trouble of its own. We talked about living a life that is not about a life of condemning others, but instead about purifying ourselves, dealing with our own issues so that we are better equipped to help people with the issues that they are dealing with in life. We talked about asking, it will be given. You seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. We talked about how that God knows how to give good gifts, how he knows how to give God the Holy Spirit, that there's a broad gate, a narrow gate, that many people are on the path of destruction on the broad gate, but there are very few that will choose the narrow gate, which leads to life. Talked about pseudo-prophets and false prophets, but yet they were inwardly ravenous wolves. He said, you will know them by their fruits. He talks about you are able to determine what type of tree you are dealing with by the type of fruit that it produces. And then we concluded this with discussing, not everyone who says to Jesus, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Because there are a lot of people who will rest on their deeds instead of their relationship with him. And Jesus' response, will I depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, I never knew you. We spent a long time talking about lawlessness. We've just come through the stories of how to build your life, how to build your house in such a way that it will respond to the adversities of life, whether it's rain, attacks that come from above, whether it is things that rise up from beneath, like floodwaters, or where problems, you think you survived the initial wave only to have a secondary wave that comes through. And a wise person survives all the adversities of life because they've built their life on hearing what God's word has to say and doing it. A foolish person either ignores the teachings of Jesus or doesn't expose himself to them at all. And when the adversities of life happen, great will be the fall of that life. That's a brief summary of the teachings, some of the most profound teachings that you will ever hear in your life. Today, I want to conclude by looking at verse number 28 and 29. And it says there, "And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." I want to ask you today, when you hear the word of God, when you hear the teachings of Jesus, what is your reception like? Does your jaw hit the floor? Have you reached that stage where you are like, "This is the most amazing teaching that I have ever heard"? Listen, Jesus is the authority on your life. If you encounter a stranger, you're going to have to tell them about your background. You're going to have to tell them what you're dealing with. They're going to want to know, well, where do you want to go? And let's see how we can get there. When you talk to Jesus, you are talking about a person who is familiar with the hairs on your head. He's familiar with the color of those hairs. He's familiar with your height. He knows everything about you, including your thoughts and the intentions of your life. Are you astonished yet? Do you know that he's well aware of the day you were born? He knit you together in your mother's womb. He ordered your steps. He numbered your days. He lights up your pathway. He knows the day that you will breathe your last breath. He knows whether you're going to die a natural death or whether you're going to be alive and remaining when the trump of God sounds and Jesus comes and gathers his bride. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive shall be caught up together with him in the clouds, and so shall we ever remain in the Lord. Are you astonished yet? Would you be astonished if you saw him calm the sea? Would you be astonished if you saw him rise from the dead? Would you be astonished if you saw a miracle? Because, folks, the church has become so familiar with the teachings of Jesus that we have ceased to be amazed by the wisdom, the truth, the compassion that the Word of God exposes us to. Let's ask God to renew the wonder in our days. That's what happened with these people. They were filled with wonder when they heard about the teaching of Jesus. When he was done, when he had completed his teaching, the people, the crowd in this large public gathering were amazed. I remember, and I've told this story before, about two preachers who swapped pulpits, and one of the preachers preached a message, and the pastor who was hosting him said, "Brother, that was an amazing message. Was that the first time you've ever preached that?" And he said, "Oh, no." I said, "Well, how many times have you preached it?" And he said, "Oh, probably 70. And he said, "70? Well, it was like it was still fresh in your heart. It was still like it was a loaf of bread right out of the oven of heaven. It was absolutely wonder. How do you do that without losing, you know, the sensitivity and it comes across so well and so authentic. And he said, I never lost the wonder. You see, when a person asks Jesus into their life and their sins are forgiven and all of a sudden they're released from their burdens and they have hope where it was hopeless before, and now they have a relationship with Jesus that they didn't ever dream was possible. Those type of people go out and they want to tell everybody. Those type of people want to go out and they are not bashful. They are not wondering about whether or not people are going to believe them, receive them, or reject them. They just want to tell people about this glorious relationship that they have with Jesus that is the most amazing thing that has ever happened. Those type of people build churches because they start inviting friends and family to come to church, and people say, look, if you can change that life, you can change my life. We have people in our church whose lives used to be in layers and layers of chains of bondage, and Jesus set them free. We know what transformed lives look like. If you go to sit down and read your Bible, have you lost the amazement of the teaching of Jesus? Or do you sit down at it like you are getting ready to partake of your favorite dinner? A long time ago, a person showed up for church on Sunday night. They were leading worship that night, and before they led worship, they brought out a napkin. They tucked it into the top of their shirt. They had plasticware and a plate, and they said, I want you to know that this morning we feasted on the steak of God's word. I left here, I felt like I had a spiritual steak dinner. And here not too long ago, 4 or 5 weeks ago, I think it was on one of our Wednesday night teachings, someone mentioned that that was the way that they had felt about one of the sermons that I had preached. Have we lost the wonder? You see, when you do something and it's wonderful, where it's full of wonder and amazement, you'll want to go back and dive into it again. You see, we at one point in time took our kids to Busch Gardens in Williamsburg, and it was during the season where it was still kind of cool. So it was spring break. And so there weren't that many people that were at the park. And so you could ride all of these premium rides without having to wait hours in line. And I remember getting off of a roller coaster, running around, getting right back on it to ride it again because we had so much fun riding it the first time. I want you to know your life with Jesus is more exciting, more adventurous, more wonderful and amazing than a thrill ride, a bungee cord ride, a movie, a celebrity that you might meet. I'm here today closing out this teaching asking you, does the fire of passion still burn in you for the word of God and for the privilege of being in the house of God? There are more than enough believers in Brevard County that we could fill the churches. Merit Assembly of God has never been one of the popular churches in its 70-year history. It's never been one of the cool churches to go to. That doesn't mean that there hasn't been efforts to reach out and things like that. There have been. But I'm here. I do know this, that there are more than enough Christians who've lost the wonder and the joy of fellowship that are sitting on the sidelines, that if today the anointing of the Holy Spirit could come across this microphone and through those airwaves to reach your ears, that every Bible preaching church in Brevard County could be filled with people who don't just have recollections of the honeymoon phase of their relationship with Jesus. It's not that they have lost their first love, but that love has been breathed upon fresh again by the Holy Spirit, and it has been fanned into flames by the saints. And today the Word of God and the people of God and the meeting together to worship God is intensified. The people were literally amazed because of what Jesus taught them. It was the fact that he taught them. You see, every week there was a teaching from the synagogue. Every week a rabbi would teach something from the scrolls. But for the Pharisees, they taught what the violations were. They were looking at more showing their elevation over the people of their community rather than empowering the people and saying, you can live the life God wants you to live because the God who wants you to live that life is living inside of you. When I looked up the word of teaching, it was that, yes, there's teaching. It's the instruction or the act of teaching or the content of the teaching. And I'll go one more aspect. Jesus also gave them application of that teaching. How does it impact my life? How can I put it to use in my life? At one point in time, I was in a learning setting, and they were giving me so much information that there was not enough time for application. I was drowning in good ideas. And I said, I cannot put this into practice. So what I'm doing is actually damaging myself because I do not have, you know, I've got so much that is going on that I can't do this, and now I'm responsible for doing it. And so it wasn't a helpful situation, and I eventually had to make a choice and saying, I'll come back to this whenever I get the chance. You see, the thing that taught or that the people noticed about Jesus and his teaching, and he is the master teacher of all time, was that he taught as one with authority. He taught them what was right. He had the ability to teach them, the authority to teach them. He had the ability to exercise rule over them. He was the one who was in control and one who was in command over everything that was written. Everything that is written in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. His teaching wasn't just theoretical. It wasn't from a position of arrogance. His teaching is flawless. In all honesty, I have a very difficult time listening to myself because whenever I listen to myself preaching, I find the flaws, the verbal blunders, the brain freezes that happen. Listen, when you're in a room by yourself and you're doing a program that is 27 minutes and 28 seconds, and there's not another person in here to help you get unstuck. I was in a meeting. There was one of those verbal blunders, the Iowa, Iowa, Iowa. I was in a meeting here in the month of January and was talking to somebody who I've known for 3 decades. Know his wife. Love them. They are dear friends. And my brain froze on the wrong name in a conversation, and no matter how hard I tried to get unstuck, I couldn't do it. Jesus doesn't make mistakes. So I will tell you this, you are not a mistake. Life might be, it might seem overwhelming to you, whether it's the wind or the rain or the floods, might be beating down against you. You may be looking at the teachings of Jesus and saying, I could never live up to all of that. I want you to understand that not only do we need Jesus for salvation, we need Jesus for living. He's the one that makes it possible for us to live in the manner in which he's asking us to live, teaching us to live. See, a lot of people think that Jesus is just waiting for you to make a mistake so he can knock you into an eternity without him, without his presence. Nothing could be further from the truth. Not only did Jesus step out of eternity and into this little bubble called time, he took the form of a servant, lived among us, taught us how we should live, showed us how we should live, taught us how to pray, went to the cross, died, rose again the third day, and ascended to the right hand of the Father, and is even right now praying for you because he wants you to be a success. He wants you to live the life that he designed for you to live. I pray that here in 2023, I mean, we're pretty much, not exactly, but pretty close to the last, well, we are the last full week of February. He wants you to live a glorious, glorious 2023. You say, well, I already blew it in January and February. Start today. Start today. God, would you let me pray for you? God, I pray today that you would restore to us the joy of our salvation, that you would restore to us the awe of your word, the wonder of not living with condemnation over our heads, but living with forgiveness. Lord, I want to thank you. You have sentenced us to eternal life. May we be hungry for your word and in awe of you and your word. May we live the life you want us to live. We'll see you tomorrow right here on
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Just to be with the one he loves. How many times has he broken that promise? But it has never been done. Well, I never